Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You know what the best feeling in the world is?
What?
Taking your bra off. Let me tell you, men, I don't know an equivalent, but for women, it is taking your bra off.
I imagine it's like when you have on, like, tidy whiteys, and then you take them off for a man. Because I feel like they're,
like... Do you
know
men that wear tidy whiteys?
No, but, you know, you said an equivalent, and I feel like boxers are loose.
They are.
They have those compression boxers, so maybe...
James wears those. So I don't know if he wants people to know that.
So maybe taking those off is the equivalent to taking off a bra.
I'm Brooke.
And you're here with us on DJs Who Talk Crime
Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back.
Does Ashley sound like she just woke up? Because she did.
I literally just took a 20-minute nap. It is Saturday and I have my children, and I normally take a mid-afternoon nap on my love sack, and it didn't happen today, so I'm very tired. But I'm going to get it together for y'all. I promise. I'm going to get it together.
It's okay. It's okay. I just got back from a birthday dinner. Shout out to John Reed. He's literally our biggest fan. He talked about each individual case with me tonight and gave me his perspective. And I was like, oh my God, you do listen. Because you know, you have those people that are like, oh, I listened. And you're like, did you? You know? But he knew every case. The one that said that shook him the most was the Emma Walker case.
Really?
Yep. He was like, how are you just going to shoot into her bedroom and not know you're going to hit something?
I mean, I feel like he did know he was going to hit something. Like, I did too. You shot into her bedroom. You know the layout of her room. Like, don't be foo-foo lame with it.
So we were at this dinner and there was other people, and he told everybody at the table that I had a true crime podcast. So John Reed, happy birthday to you. Happy graduation to you. Happy new house to you, and happy promotion to you.
Oh my gosh, that is a hell of a celebration.
A big week, I know.
Damn, well, feliz cumpleaños, okay?
Yeah. He was like, I feel like I need to meet Ashley. I feel like I already know her, but I need to meet her.
I mean, he would not want to meet me in this caliber that I am right now, but... Yeah.
You're a beautiful princess.
I am. I am. Thank you.
Yes. You look great. You sound great. We're just going to get into it.
Do I sound great? I'm not really good.
Well, you know. They're here for the long time, not the good. Wait.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm here for a good time, not a long time, you know. But they want to be here for, so they're here for a long time.
Long time and a good time.
Yeah.
Yep. So, we're just going to get into it tonight because it is late and we all tired, and this is coming out on Monday morning and we want to get y'all the best crime possible. So let's go over our socials real quick because you know we got them.
Yeah, yes we do. Yes we do.
We got the Grammy. The Grammy is Teachers Talk Crime, and we really want to hit that 1,000. We should do something special if we hit 1,000. So that is the goal.
Yes, it is the goal. Beep, beep, beep. Beep, beep, beep. And then we got Tickety Talk, Don't Stop. You already know mine is Branny. That is Brant with 3 Y's and that underscore.
And you better not forget the underscore.
At this point, if y'all forget it, that's on you. That is your problem.
It is. Be like, I forgot something. What was that?
That underscore.
Yo. And mine is southern.math.teacher. And we have a Buy Me a Coffee, which we could really use right now.
I don't even know if I'd want one right now. Because then
you'd be cleaning the whole house.
I would be
scrubbing the corners.
I would be editing this episode. I would be doing all of the things. But we would like it.
So that is buymeacoffee.com/TTC podcast if you would like to buy us a coffee in moments like this or purchase us a loaded tea.
And then Brooke handles our Twitter. I don't even know our Twitter handle.
It is at TTC podcast_.
And we are still tweeting in the Tessie, y'all. We are.
We saw that review tweeting in Tessie.
And also Elon Musk. I know y'all hear us. Well, not y'all, because you one person. Child.
He might be up in space.
He might, but send me a Tessie. Just, I've been seeing that these Tessies have been malfunctioning nowadays. Oh. So just give me a good working one, because I got kids, okay, Elon? Okay? Yeah.
I'll take the malfunction one. I ain't got nobody but myself. I'll take one. I'll take the ones that malfunction every now and then.
Not a broken ass Tessie.
Yup.
Sweetie, a broke ass Tessie.
We had a kid roll up in a Tessie to the school dance on Friday. We had our 8th grade prom, and we had limos, red carpets, and Tessies, and $600 dresses. And a lot of our boys have been doing middle school jobs to save up for their suits. But let me tell you, if you are a boy at my school, you looked fresh as heck on Friday. Let me tell you.
What's that song? You ain't fresh as I'm is. I think it's a Bow Wow song. So shout out to y'all because y'all was fresh as y'all was.
They were. They were. It was a good time.
It was a good time. And
any other announcements?
We just got to do our Star Students.
Oh, yes. Bam, bam,
bam. Our Estudiante de Estrella.
Oh, that was good. You have been practicing.
Thank you. She's bilingual. Also, hilarious story. Anything I say, anything in Spanish in my classroom, my children all know to say, es bilingüe. So, I'll be telling them that it's a no for me in Spanish. It's literally my favorite thing to say. I'd be like, es un no para mí, punto. And they'd be like, es bilingüe. And I'm like, guys.
So funny.
Guys, now's not the time, but yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
But yes, I am. Yes, I am.
And you've been practicing, too.
Yes, I do Duolingo every day. I'm currently on a 19-day streak. I'm killing it.
Look at you.
I'm just trying to add bilingual to the resume, okay? So I can tweet in that Tessie in Espanol, okay?
Yup.
But for real, our star student this week is Creeps and Crimes.
Oh, my gosh! No way! Hey, Taylor and Morgan!
I know. If you guys don't know, Creeps and Crimes is an amazing true crime and true creeps podcast.
Conspiracy.
Yeah, they do anything creepy, anything conspiracy. It's like you're getting two shows in one, which is really cool because they split their episodes in half. They do a creepy conspiracy thing and then they talk about a true crime. So it's like you're double dipping. It's very nice.
Yeah, and they're awesome.
Yeah, and Brooke put me on, and they gave us a review, so I'm going to read it.
Thanks, Creeps and Crimes.
Their title is amazing.
Y'all are amazing.
It has 5 stars, so pew, 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 pew.
Pew, 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 pew.
And it says, love, love, love this podcast, the host's voices, and the content they cover so well.
Aww.
So sweet.
No, they are literally the sweetest. I feel like they're because they've been podcasting way longer and they are a bigger podcast, but they're younger than me and Ashley, in age.
Mm-hmm.
And so I message them because they're in that stage of life where all their friends are getting married out of college and they're all having these bachelorette parties and they have these luncheons and bridal this and bridal that. And I messaged Taylor. I was like, I just want you to know, I might sound like an old woman saying this, but this is the time of your life. This phase of your 20s where all your friends are getting married and the bachelorette trips and all this stuff is so fun.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy it. I remember being in that stage of life and being like, oh my God, I have another wedding. And now I'm like, oh, I don't have any weddings this year, you know?
I mean, yeah. And the fact that they're such a big podcast and they listen to us. That's pretty dope. I know. That's pretty dope. So, Creeps and Crimes, thank you so much for your review. This gold star's for you. Bing.
Yeah. Oh. So, one more thing. If you are any type of nutritionist, I have started counting my macros. I have no clue what the heck I am doing. So, anyone out there that wants to give me tips, please hit me up on the Grammy and let me know how to meet all these macros because I'm struggling. I just wanted to put that out there. Just wanted to put that out there into the universe.
I mean, yeah, that's great. It just sounds super complicated. And the way that I love food, that wouldn't be a working thing for me. But shout out to you for getting that done.
We're trying. It's only week one.
I mean, that's great. I need to do something.
I gave up a seltzer tonight and I had a vodka water.
I mean, that's how I got into tequila sodas.
Yep. See? There you go. Are y'all ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Then we're going to sit down. Mm-hmm. We're going to shut up. Mm-hmm. And the murder is about to begin.
Ahora.
What up, y'all? Welcome back. It's Teachers Talk Crime. And y'all already know what it is. We about to be in here talk about murder, suicide, dating violence, domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking. So, y'all already know what it is. Don't sit here and act like y'all know. We about to get into it. So, if you're not ready, I'm going to need you to leave. All right, then.
All right, so we are going back to Europe today. I don't know why these countries just keep pulling me in all the directions that they are, but we're going back to Europe today, and this is the case of Aaron Campbell.
Aaron?
Aaron Campbell. Yep. Okay. Aaron. Aaron.
That's what I was literally about to say. Aaron.
Aaron. That is the funniest video ever. Oh, I love that video. Anyways. So we are back in Europe today. This is the killing of a six-year-old Scottish girl named Alicia McAfee. And I'm hoping I'm saying her last name correct, but it is Alicia. And McAfee is how it was pronounced on the translator. But she was abducted from her own bedroom in the middle of the night by the one kid that no one expected. 16-year-old Aaron Campbell.
Oh, no.
It's those Aarons.
Yes.
I mean, when you got two A's back to back, like something.
Something just ain't right. Two A's. Not with him. Ain't right.
Not him.
You said he was 16?
He was.
Mm-hmm. Like, what is he doing with a 6-year child? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, this is disturbing.
I can feel it.
I am going to go ahead and give the trigger warning, even though we have a disclaimer. This episode does involve child abuse and rape, and I wanted to go ahead and give that trigger warning now. So Alicia McAfee was 6 years old and as adorable as they come with her blonde hair and light complexion. Alicia lived with her mom and sister Courtney full-time due to her parents being divorced and living separate lives. However, her parents separated when she was only 3 months old, so she didn't have much memory of them together, so it was not like a trauma situation or a tough situation for Alicia. This was literally all she knew.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good.
Her father, Robert, who was 26 years old, lived in Isles of Bute, which is literally described on Pinterest, Google, anything that if you were to Google Isles of Bute, which is ISLE of BUTE, it is postcard worthy. Like, I mean, just look it up, Ashley. Like, look it up on a different tab real quick and just tell me your first opinion. It is absolutely gorgeous. It's a very small, tight-knit community. A lot of tourists go there just because of its beauty and its seawalls, and it's just gorgeous.
Isles of Bute. Oh, wow.
Yeah, very picturesque.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Some it is. Agua. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. So this is absolutely gorgeous. They are just really known for like their attraction and their beauty and their just picturesque postcard moments. So anyways, His father, her father, Robert, who, like I said, was 26, lived on Isles of Bute with his parents and his girlfriend, Tony, 17 years old. Oh. Which no one raises any, like, red flags about this. So I'm not going to raise red flags because it seemed normal.
Well, I'm going to raise it. What?
Yeah, so her dad's 26 and his girlfriend, live-in girlfriend, is 17.
What is the age of consent over there?
See, I don't know that. And they both lived with his parents in their house.
And his parents just allowed a 17-year-old to just be living in there?
Yeah, that's a 10-year age difference. 10-year age difference.
And I'm pretty sure, I mean, some places they do like 16 is like you're considered an adult. And I'm not sure if England is one of those places. However, comma, I don't care what you say, whether you say it's legal or not. That's weird. It's weird.
It is a little weird. I agree. It's weird.
Yeah.
But normal in this family. Like, no one in any of my sources said anything was strange about this, like, relationship. Like, it was completely normal. Tony acted as, like, you know, a loving person towards Alicia, and they got along, and the parents liked her, and it was just normal.
Okay.
So, to each their own. Alicia would spend time at her father's / grandparents' house every other weekend, and she attended Chapelside School and had just completed the second grade at the time of her murder.
Oh, a little baby.
Mm-hmm. She's about to be one of your 30s.
Yes. I know she would have been precious.
Her homeroom teacher described her as smiley and happy. She said that she was a young girl who loved being at school and enjoyed all aspects of literacy, in particular, loved writing.
Oh, she would have been an ace in my class.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Star student.
Mm-hmm.
Alicia's favorite activities were gymnastics and baking cakes.
I'm not a cake boss.
I know.
Oh, so sweet.
And I'm wondering, I think they do, like, gym over there differently. I think they actually, like, have gym class, whereas we don't got that over here in America. They just play, like, they just sit there.
Well, first of all, if our physical education teacher heard you say that, he would be very upset, because we can't call it gym no more. It is physical education.
Well, good for y'all, because I walk in the gym and I don't know what they're doing.
I mean, I also do not, because I literally drop them at the door and be like, have a great class, and I go back on my merry little way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is physical education now.
Kudos to him.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos to him. So with the summer starting, obviously, that's the perfect time for a lot of, like, divorced parents to give more time to the parent that doesn't normally have them full time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see that a lot in situations. So summer has started and Alicia has gone to spend her 3-week vacation with her father and paternal grandparents on Isles of Bute. So on July 1st of 2018, a very fresh case. This is still fairly new. So on July 1st, 2018, a few days, 3 days exactly, into her stay with her father at her grandparents' house, Alicia went to bed watching Peppa Pig. I knew you would giggle because your TikToks about Peppa Pig are, like, blowing up and you're like, why?
The girls love Peppa Pig, but specifically, Skylar loves Peppa Pig. So she will randomly, like, have a British accent. It's, like, the funniest thing. She'll be like, she'll be talking in a regular sentence and then just be like, mommy. And I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Peppa's actually a brat.
She is another word that I cannot say because it's not a happy hour episode.
Yeah.
But I always swore that the girls would never watch Peppa Pig because of that episode when she banged on her friend Susie Sheep because she couldn't whistle.
Yup.
And then here we are, like, a couple seasons in, like, I'm Peppa Pig. Like, oh my God. I can't believe.
Casey watches Peppa Pig and, like, fun fact, Peppa Pig is banned in China. Yeah. So if anyone is planning on going to China, you cannot watch Peppa Pig over there. Anyway, so she did fall asleep watching Peppa Pig on her DVD player, and it was a normal night. Her dad's girlfriend, Tony, checked in on her around midnight, and she was sound asleep in her bed. I'm assuming, like, you know, if the DVD was still playing, I'm sure she went and, like, turned it off, closed all of that. Yeah, she did the normal thing. Everything was normal.
Mm-hmm.
However, a few houses away, 16-year-old Aaron Campbell was throwing a party with 15 of his friends. I don't know how he got 15 friends because I ain't got that many, but I guess when you're 16 and, like, cool, you can have 15 friends.
And then, like, so I guess it's summer, cool, you guys are partying, but what can you really do at 15? I mean, 16, sorry. Like, what can you really do? You can't drink. Like, what
do you
do?
Well,
they were. Oh, okay. Yep. All right. Yep. Well, that answers my question. Continue.
Yep. They were. Yep. So he was throwing a party with 15 of his friends at his house, and this party was a very normal high school party. There was drinking and there were drugs involved. I say normal, like I didn't do that stuff, but like I know people that did drink in high school and did drugs in high school, but I put normal. I don't know why I did that.
I mean, I plead the fifth with the drinking part.
Yeah. There was a side note, tangent, real quick. Mary, this is just shout out. So this guy like asked me to ask my sister if she'd be willing to go on a date with him. Like he was interested. And this is only like a year ago. And I texted Mary. I was like, oh my gosh, he's gotten so cute. Like you should go on a date. And she's like, Brooke, I literally remember shotgunning a beer and he was shotgunning a Red Bull. We are not the same.
She's like, he is like, not on my caliber.
No. And I was like, okay, never mind.
Well, you never know. He might be shotgunning them beers now, girl.
Yeah, but she out here mom life, and so.
True. But here's the thing. Just because you a mom don't mean you can't shotgun, okay?
You right. Period. You are right. You
Punto,
right.
Okay?
You right. You are right. Periodico.
Periodico.
So, partying, they're living it up. The party started slowing down around 12:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. So a little past midnight. And it is now officially June 2nd. That's kind of how the time works. But I always, like, when I listen to podcasts, I get super confused when they're like, oh, yeah, she was out walking on, you know, June 3rd. But then, like, what? Then they don't ever specify that it was, like, midnight. I'm like, oh, that's why y'all said the different
date. Yes,
day.
I hate that, too. I hate that as well.
So anyways, it is now officially June 2nd because that's, again, how time works. And as partygoers left, one friend returned to check on Aaron. And he claimed later on that he found him very suicidal.
What?
Like, just super down, super depressed, talking about it, you know, just really down. And Aaron told this friend that he was just upset because him and his mom had an argument. And they were still in this argument, but that he would be fine. And the friend even offered to stay over and keep him company just in case. Like, let me chill here. Like, let me hang out. Let me just make sure you're all right. But Aaron said, no, I'm just going to go get stoned. I'm going to be good. Like, I'm just going to go get high. Like, nothing's wrong. I'll be fine.
I guess my concern or thought here is that, so you're having this whole entire party with your friends. And this is the time that you choose to be sad about an argument with, like, an argument with your mom. Like, you weren't sad the whole party.
Right.
Like, you were.
Like, y'all argued before the party, and you still threw a party.
Yeah.
I don't think you were that upset.
Exactly. And so it was just when everyone's leaving, you're like, all right, let me just put on a sad face.
Yeah.
That's strange. I don't like
it. It is really weird.
I don't like that.
So his friend left because they're boys, and obviously, like, society teaches young boys not to be vulnerable, which is so wrong, and I hate that. Mm-hmm. But his friend was like, well, if he says he's good, you know, like, I guess I'll go. So his friend did leave, but still claimed later on when questioned that he did worry about Aaron all night. Like, he felt like something was wrong. And Aaron proceeded to text several people asking if they had weed that he could buy. So he was trying to, like, buy some marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And among these people that he texted were Robert and Tony, Alicia's dad and Alicia's dad's girlfriend, who had both sold to him in the past. However, neither of them answered Aaron. This is 12:30 at night.
Yeah.
Again, you know, not only was the age a little bit of a red flag, but, like, the dad and the girlfriend kind of, like, dealing drugs.
Yeah, that is pretty sus.
Yeah. I mean, they are not to blame in all this, but, like,
yeah, like, you know. What are you doing? Get a job.
Yeah. So, Aaron's home life and upbringing gave literally zero indication of what he was actually capable of and, like, the acts that he later on committed. Mm-hmm. He did have a little bit of a history of self-harm and depression, which we just mentioned with the suicidal thoughts and just being really down. But Aaron was actually super popular and had a ton of friends. So in school, he was like the popular kid. And his friends described him as having a dark sense of humor, but not one that anyone ever felt concerned about. And we've seen that before. Mm. Like, it is, yes, I know people with a dark sense of humor. I don't know. I'm not saying that there's not, I don't really know how to say it. A dark sense of humor does not make you a killer.
Not at all.
At all. So I guess in his friend's mind that this sense of humor wasn't something to really worry about.
Yeah, this was like the same with, I believe it was the Anne McGuire case.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because they said the same thing about him. Like, he had a dark sense of humor because he was diagnosed with diabetes and could have joined the army of some sort. And he was just, ever since then, he had a dark sense of humor, but people wouldn't like be like, ah, he's a killer.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing with Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
So Aaron aspired to be a YouTuber, you know, because that's a job now in 2022.
I mean, make bank.
You can. Like, mm-hmm. Ryan World, he like worth $1 billion, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. And I'm worth three. That's crazy.
Not $3 billion. $3.
Yeah, like $3. Like, like 12 quarters.
Exactly 12 quarters.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted to be a YouTuber, and he would upload a few videos of him doing things. I think like one of his videos that you could have seen on the internet was him jumping on a trampoline, him playing video games, him doing like normal stuff, like outside, inside, you know, just normal stuff.
But to be a YouTuber, you gotta kick it up a little. Like, you're not gonna go viral for jumping on your trampoline, A.A. Ron. You're not, okay?
You're not, no.
You're not.
I mean, but we also don't pick what goes viral, because your Peppa Pig video went viral.
That one and the one with the poop in the mouth and the one with the music playlist, like all those random videos. So you're right. Maybe that could have been your big break, but it wasn't, because you went and did something very stupid.
Yup. Mm-hmm. Yup. So the only other thing on social media that was even like questionable, which I mean, I guess when I read it, you're going to be like, that was not questionable. That is wrong. Was a Facebook post by Aaron that suggested, quote, might kill one day for the lifetime experience.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
And again, no one saw this as a concern.
People are just, and granted, it's no one's fault, but I know if I'm seeing some stuff like that on my feed, I'm going to be concerned. I'm not going to be like, oh, that's my friend. He would never do something like that. Because if you have the balls to post something to social media that lives forever on the magical interweb, and this is what you choose to post for everyone to see.
Exactly.
No, it's eso no para mí. Punto.
Yo. Mm-hmm. So Aaron became more annoyed and more eager to get high because no one was answering his text. It's 12-something at night, sir. People are asleep.
Yeah, people have, like, lives and things to do and, you know.
Yeah.
They're not obliged
to get you high.
Yeah, to respond to your messages like you are the president of the United States or something, okay? You are Aaron, okay?
So keep in mind, he started texting people like around 12:30-ish. No one's answering him back. And I'm sure he like gave it some time. So he decided, brilliant plan. I'm just going to walk over to the McAfeel residence. And I'm going to rob them of their weed stash that he like was positive they had.
You can tell that he was under the influence because none of this just sounds
thought through.
No, it's just like, oh, I know they have it. I'm going to just go take it from them. Like, what? And are you that desperate?
Also, do you, like, they're home. So where did you think you were going to look without making noise?
That, and you're, again, like, you're that, it's midnight, bro.
Go to sleep.
Go to bed.
Yeah.
Like, cry yourself to sleep. You get the best sleeps from that, sir. I bet you if you would have just cried in your pillow, you would have dozed off in the snooze land and you would have woke up a new man, okay?
Yup. So at 1:54 a.m., he set out on his, quote, get high mission.
That's original.
Yeah. Armed with a kitchen knife. So wait, if your plan was just to rob them of their weed stash, why you need a kitchen knife?
Exactly. Like, I don't hear any mask in that, so you're going to let them see your face and just, you know? This is a very stupid plan. It's very dumb.
He's a very stupid boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, he was approximately only, like, when I said a few houses down, I meant that he was a 5-minute walk from the McAfee house. Mm. So, he was not far at all. He was a 5-minute walk away from the house, and he had no problem getting into the home because the key was left in the door. Damn. Which, again, all my sources say, this is one of those areas and neighborhoods and communities that it was okay to do this.
I mean, I understand that, but this was also in 2018. Like, granted, I live in a very nice neighborhood, and I would never just leave my door unlocked.
Right.
You know, like, these are the times. People are crazy. There are crazy people everywhere. Even on Isles de Butte.
Isles of Butte.
Isles of Butte. My bad. I know it was a Butte in there, you know?
We installed our ring. Like, we installed our... I say we. I don't know why I said that. James installed our ring doorbell today with, like, the camera and everything like that. And we ended up, like, going to town. And halfway to town, he was like, oh, my God, I left the garage door open. Like, do you think it's a big deal? And then he was like, you know, we're in a very safe neighborhood. Every single house in our street has a ring doorbell. We can watch you leave and enter the neighborhood. So, like, going to town, like, we didn't stress, but it's not something we're going to make a habit of. Like, we were literally just, like, in a hurry trying to get those errands done, and we were coming right back.
Yeah, it makes sense. And accidents do happen, and you do forget that sometimes, but majority of the time you're not going to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
So the key was left in the door, or the door was just simply unlocked. Mm-hmm. And Alicia's room was the closest room to the front door. And that's where Aaron entered. And when Aaron entered, he saw Alicia sleeping. He saw what he claimed later as, quote, moment of opportunity.
An opportunity for what?
And later stated that, quote, all I thought about was killing her once I saw her.
For why?
Exactly. For what purpose?
She's a little girl.
For what purpose, sir?
You literally went in there to get your little drugs. She had nothing to do with it.
Go get your weed.
Go get your weed. Leave the little girl alone. She ain't do nothing to you. She's sleeping. She was enjoying how Peppa Pig, probably dreaming about Peppa Pig being a savage.
Yeah. George. Rolling in the mud holes. The muddy holes.
Yeah.
The muddy puddles.
Mm-hmm.
So Aaron proceeded to kidnap Alicia from her sleep and leave the home with her in his arms. Alicia ended up waking up, and Aaron said it's okay. He was just taking her home and that she had fallen asleep somewhere else and that he was friends with her dad. No need to worry. And that was not a direct quote, but that was, like, essentially what he later claimed he said. Uh-huh. And it is unclear if Alicia, like, bought this or put up a struggle. Mm-hmm. So, keep in mind, he's bigger. He's 16 and she's 6. But Aaron continued with Alicia in his arms to a secluded area where, this is the trigger warning, he then raped and murdered her.
Here's the thing. You said you wanted to murder her. Granted, that's not okay. What was your purpose for violating this little girl?
Exactly. What did she do to you?
She was literally sleeping in her bed.
And you, if you really think about it, you have no connection to this girl whatsoever.
None. Like, what would possess you in your right mind? Like, oh, I'm a killer. Let me also do X, Y, and Z to her. That, something ain't right in your head, Aaron. Something's not right. Something's not correct.
Yep. Afterwards, he threw away his clothes as evidence into the sea, went home to take a shower, and then returned to the McAfee home to retrieve his phone that he had left behind.
So he just threw his clothes in the sea and walked home naked.
Yeah. I think he had on his boxer. I think he had on his boxer shorts.
He seems like a tidy whitey kind of boy.
Yeah. And I think this spandex was a little too tight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he left her there?
Yes, he left her there. And then went back to the home where he left his phone.
Dummy. Mm-hmm. What a dummy.
Yep. So at 6 a.m. on July 2nd, Alicia's grandfather woke up and went to check on Alicia and found that she was not in her bed. He panicked. He checked the rest of the house and found her nowhere. The grandparents notified the police at 6:23. So I can imagine like 6 a.m. She's not there. I'm going to check every room. I'm going to check outside. I'm going to check the garage. 23 minutes pass. This makes sense. This timeline makes sense. Mm-hmm. So while he was calling the police, the rest of the family, her dad and Tony, the dad's girlfriend, searched the surrounding areas, knocking on doors and notifying neighbors that like Alicia's gone. Alicia's grandmother quickly turned to social media, particularly Facebook, and begged anyone who had any information or wanted to help look for her, like, please come over, please help, please let us know what you saw, like, we're desperate. Mm-hmm. The Scotland police began to hunt for Alicia, and around 6:55 a.m., a Coast Guard volunteer was around the shoreline when he discovered the kitchen knife near the home. At 8:54, so 2 hours later, the police were notified that a George Williams, a local man, had discovered Alicia's lifeless and naked body. She was found in a wooded area on the grounds of a former hotel. This was approximately a 15-minute walk from the home of Alicia's family. So he carried her for 15 minutes to the shoreline.
And I guess everybody was asleep, so nobody saw him walking around with his child.
I mean, it's like 1, 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
So, Tony noticed that she had several missed calls from Aaron around this time. Mm. And assumed that maybe, just maybe, there was some kind of relation of him knowing where Alicia was.
Girl, so the auto relation is there.
Yup. So she called, or I could never confirm if she actually called him or texted him, but I would assume the way the wording reads is that she texted him mm-hmm. back at around 9:01. So this is like right after the body was discovered. Now this is like within 5 minutes, so I'm not 100% sure if the police had even informed the family at this point. This is 5 minutes. They discovered her at 8:54.
Yeah.
And she's texting Aaron back at 9:01.
Mm-hmm.
So
they probably didn't know that she was found.
Right.
At that point in time.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she pretty much said, like, look, I'm sorry I missed your calls, or I'm sorry I missed your text, something along that lines. And his response was, wait, hold on. What was it? It was something along the lines of too late to be sorry or something like that. Yeah. And then she said if he could, like, please be on the lookout for Alicia. She was missing, and they were, like, really worried. And Aaron responded with, quote, oh, damn, I'm sure she's not went too far, X, period. I don't know what the X was for. I guess that's,
I feel
like
that's, like, an England thing. I feel like it's kind of like an XOXO kind of thing.
Okay.
Maybe, I could be wrong, but why would he be saying X? Maybe it's just, like, something that they do, you know, like.
Yeah.
Like how New Yorkers say, like, dead ass, you know, like maybe that's an England thing. But also, so you send that cryptic message, it's too late now.
Yeah.
Which me, I would have took it immediately the wrong way because of the way my brain functions.
Also, the circumstances that you're reading the text in.
Yeah. And then you're, I don't think she couldn't have gone too far when you're the one who did it, bro. Are we
joking? You know exactly where she's at.
And granted, no one's saying for him to just come out and be like, yeah, I did it. But, like, why even answer? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why even answer? Because then when they find out it's you, it's going to be, like, that much more gut-wrenching.
Well, that much more evidence on
you. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess this is the only logical thing that I can think of as to what I'm about to say next. But I think in the whirlwind of Alicia going missing, obviously everyone's in a panic.
Mm-hmm.
But Alicia's own mother did not know about her daughter's death until the grandmother's Facebook post, like when she read it on Facebook.
No, that's horrible.
Yeah.
That is absolutely horrible. That's no way to find out.
It's not. It's not. And then she was immediately escorted to Isles of Bute with the rest of the family.
Mm.
So the autopsy of Alicia was done the next day, so on July 3rd of 2018, and it revealed that Alicia had 117 injuries to her body.
117?
Mm-hmm.
And she's so small.
How do you even do, like,
she's, I don't even so know. She's so small.
Yes. Some of which they concluded happened while she was, in fact, still alive. It showed that Alicia had been gripped around the throat, but injuries, but also there were injuries on her nose and mouth, which indicated that she was smothered. So they think that he tried to choke her first. Mm-hmm. And when that, like, I guess he either thought it wasn't, I don't know what he was thinking. I can't be in his mind, but then switched and smothered her instead. Her vaginal area sustained what the coroner quoted as catastrophic injuries.
Oh, my God. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
The pathologist determined that her death was the result of significant forceful pleasure to her neck and face. I don't even know what forceful press.
I don't even want to think about what that means, because where my brain goes for a six-year-old to, like, endure is just so disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
So, with this information brought to the police, they immediately opened up a murder investigation, which it was already, like, they knew. Like, they knew they, but they have to, like, have, because, you know, like, the coroner's determinant of death is, like, what snowballs an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Because it, like, and I've learned this through true crime, but, like, if a coroner says a death is accidental, like, they don't have grounds to, like, go and investigate it.
Yeah.
Obviously, they knew.
Yeah, there was nothing accidental about what happened.
Exactly. So, but they had the official go-ahead to open the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
The chief superintendent, Hazel Hinderin, said every available source from across Police Scotland is being made available to this major investigation. And they did just that. The police were literally knocking on doors and taking statements from everyone. Mm-hmm. They were calling all the residents in town, and they were searching endlessly for evidence around Isles of Bute. When they questioned and asked Jeanette Campbell, Aaron's mother, she said, well, let me check my CCTV footage. Like, I'm sure, like, what if I have something on camera? Like, I'll give it over to you guys. Like, let me be helpful.
And imagine, like, looking at that footage and then seeing your son.
So, she saw her son Aaron leaving the house and returning to the house
naked
twice during the hours that Alicia had apparently disappeared.
Mm.
She confronted Aaron about this, and he told her that he knew nothing about the case of Alicia. And although his mother did believe him, she still turned over the CCTV footage to the police.
Thank goodness. Good job.
Well, you know, her idea was she believed Aaron. So she's like, okay, well, if I turn this footage in, like, there's nothing to hide. Like, it can clear his name, you know, if they ever did, like, you know, just to kind of get him off a list of suspects, I think she thought.
I mean, but it sounds like the type of area that this is, the time of night that it was, that no one's going to be out walking and going to be out, like, la 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 doo da in the middle of the night. So I just can't imagine that she 100% believed him, when it's very coincidental that the same time that this child was violated and murdered, that you just so happened to be out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
There's
twice.
There's no way
mm-hmm.
that it's just a coincidence.
Yeah. So with this footage and the timestamps on this footage, and, like, knowing, like you just said, the time of death and all of these things, the police called Aaron in, but not as a suspect at first, but just as a possible witness. Because, mm-hmm. oh, you're out walking at 2 a.m., you might have seen something kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
you know? And they just kind of wanted to know, like, what he saw, if he did see anything, why were you out? The norm.
Yeah.
Aaron cooperated and showed no signs of worry or intimidation by police. And he told them, yeah, he was out, but he was out buying weed, then smoked it, and then went home. The next day, however, something wasn't sitting right. And on July 4th of 2018, Aaron was arrested on suspicion of murder. So I'm assuming, like, these police were like, something's not right here. something's a little sketchy.
Exactly. And I feel like it goes along to what we were just talking about. Like, it's 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And you're walking around at the exact time that this child was abducted. It does not make sense. That's too coincidental.
Yeah.
Especially in an area in which you live in.
Also, you have to think, though, they got this weed story. You know they asked, okay, who did you buy from so that we can corroborate your alibi? And I'm pretty certain, I mean, I'm no police, but simple police work is like, oh, I got this weed from Ashley. Okay, leave the police station. We're going to call Ashley. We're going to see if he actually did. And then when you turn around and say, no, I didn't sell him no weed, bingo. You know, like, I'm sure something similar happened because these are policemen. This is what they do. They have to confirm people's alibis.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I lost my place. Okay. He from there had, so he was arrested on suspicion of murder and he was taken back to the police station. And from that point forward, everything they asked him, he said, no comment.
Punk.
Yup.
He was good before and he was cool as a cucumber. And now that you've been caught, I don't got nothing to say. I plead the fifth. Get out of here, you bum.
So the next day, he was officially charged with the murder and rape of Alicia McAfee. On July 13th, he appeared in court, and he did not submit a plea at the time. So, like, you know how people go for their, like, arraignment?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? Yeah. So he didn't submit a plea at that time. Normally, that's when you say, I'm not guilty, I'm guilty.
Are you allowed to do that?
I don't really know, but that's what you did.
Of no one just saying nothing. Like,
I don't know why I'm here.
Yeah, like, that's
but
weird.
I ain't guilty, but I'm not. I'm also guilty.
Like, that's weird. Like, do you just stood there and, like, when he was like, how do you plead? He was just like, I plead, I'm here.
Like, I plead.
Like, what?
I plead the fifth.
Literally never heard of that in my entire life.
But he didn't. He didn't do a plea at that time. He then returned to court on December 10th of 2018, where he did enter a plea of not guilty to the charge of abducting, raping, and murdering Alicia. The trial was set for February of 2019, and because he was under the age of 18, no media were allowed to report his actual name in the news.
Mm.
Which makes sense because, I mean, we do that here.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the duration of the trial. On February 11th of 2019, Judge Lord Matthews, I think that's so cool they call their judges Lord.
Lord.
That's how I picture it. All rise for Lord Matthews.
Just like that.
He was over the case and he heard the following evidence against Aaron. He heard about the CCTV footage given to the police by Aaron's own mother that showed Aaron leaving the home at 1:54 a.m. and returning at 3:35 a.m. Then leaving and returning two short periods after that. Other CCTV footage given by members of the community. I'm assuming this is like Ring doorbells, you know, like every time you pass by one of the houses, they're recording. This showed an individual walking around the shoreline at 2:25 a.m. And it appeared that this person was carrying something in his arms. The pathologist testified that Alicia's feet were clean. So what this meant in court is that Alicia never touched the dirty shoreline.
Yep.
Like, you took her straight from her bed and her feet never hit the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron's mother even testified at trial, so kudos to Aaron's mother, that the following items found at the shoreline were, in fact, from her own home. And that was a fleece jacket, jogging pants, boxers. So I guess he was naked.
He had to have been naked. So then I'm wondering, on that CCTV footage, he didn't come back to the house naked.
I'd be like, boy, why was you naked
because,
in this footage?
Because then it would have been signed, sealed, delivered. It would have been a done bun. So, like, where did you get clothes before you got home? Because
if you were naked and your alibi is that you went and bought weed and smoked it and then went home, you did not buy weed from a drug dealer butt-ass naked.
No, and you probably bought something else if you ended up butt-ass naked, like some crack cocaine or something.
Yeah. So, yeah, because she did confirm that the jacket, jogging pants, boxers, and a T-shirt and the kitchen knife were all from her home. There was also DNA found on Alicia's PJs, and the DNA matched none other than Aaron Campbell.
Dang.
The judge also heard how, on the night of the murder, Aaron searched Google, how do police find DNA?
Dang.
And then he visited a website titled Collecting DNA Evidence. He's dumb as bricks.
I mean, I said it a while ago. I already knew this man was dumb, but he... Bozo, look, are you dumb that I'm dumb that I'm dumb? Like...
Yo. Then there was one more witness. A female who was, at the time, friends with Aaron. So, like, I mean, obviously she's not friends with him now because he's a murderer.
He's a killer.
But, like, she didn't know, you know? So she's friends with Aaron. And she testified that Aaron... filmed himself on Snapchat and sent it to a group of 25 people with the caption, found the guy who has done it.
What?
Mm-hmm. So after the murder, and they're all out looking for the killer and looking and investigating, he sends a Snapchat, a video, filming himself, and it says, found the guy who had done it.
Like, claiming that it's him?
Yeah, but that was like the cryptic text. Like, I guess they could have taken that however they want. But I guess to this friend, like, it seemed a little weird once she knew that. Yeah, so basically a confession, yeah.
Ugh, dumb.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but let me tell you, the defense had their moment, and they were ready. But they also, dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. But this is what they came up with. So I love hearing how the defense always like combats all this evidence. Like, come on, dude.
Mm-hmm. But whatever. I love how they like sleep at night. Like, you have to know that this boy is guilty, but it's literally your job to defend him. Like,
yeah.
How do you sleep at night?
And it's his legal right that you're there.
Yeah. It's
love
to pick their brains.
Here's what they came up with. In the early mornings, hours, Aaron was, in fact, out searching for weed, and he did lose his phone. But they argued that Tony, Alicia's dad's girlfriend, was the one responsible for the murder of Alicia.
Okay.
Aaron testified and told the court that on the night of the murder, he and Tony had sex in the garage of the home, and that Tony must have used the condom to plant DNA on Alicia to frame Aaron.
Mm-hmm. And then how did all your clothes end up on the shore, sir? Where's that explanation?
How your mama's kitchen knife get there?
Mm-hmm. Because she ain't break into your mama's house.
Mm-mm.
And I'm pretty sure you ain't leave the garage clothesless and was just like, girl, you keep these as a memento.
No, like, you didn't.
Dummy.
You did not.
Stupid dummy, bro.
Like, that was their defense. No, this wasn't Aaron. He slept with Tony, and Tony framed him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah. Cool story, bro, but... Mm-mm.
Try again.
Yes.
So Aaron's lawyer said that Tony was jealous of the attention that Alicia got and that her relationship with Alicia's father was an abusive one. I'm sorry. If you have ever been a victim, and I'm speaking from personal experience, if you've ever been a victim of domestic abuse, you ain't out cheating on the person that's abusing you.
No, because they're nuts.
You're not. You're just not doing that. So this is dumb.
Yeah.
Tony clearly denied all of these allegations and said that she loved Alicia to pieces. Alicia's grandmother even said that Tony and Alicia had a great relationship and that there is just literally no way that she would have done that to Alicia.
Yeah.
So this was the defense. They came, they tried, they attempted.
And they failed.
Yes, they did. Because Aaron's trial only lasted 9 days and the jury only deliberated for 3 hours.
Mm.
And I feel like I've never heard of a jury deliberating for less than 3 hours. I feel like they tell them, hey, you got to go sit back there a minimum of 3 hours.
Yeah.
Make it look good.
Because
we
I
know
feel
he's
like,
guilty.
Yeah, because I feel like you have all the information. Like, you go back there, look, we all agree he did it. All right, let's get out of here.
Y'all get DoorDash? Yeah. So they only deliberated for 3 hours before returning back to court with a guilty verdict. The judge described the evidence against Aaron as overwhelming and said that the teen had, quote, committed some of the most wicked and evil crimes this court has ever heard of in decades of dealing with depravity.
I completely agree.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, however, remained completely stone-faced and had no emotions at all. Sentencing was held the following month on March 21st, and at sentencing, a psychologist told the court that Aaron had confessed to the crime in detail. So I guess, like, because you know how therapy, they're like, I won't say anything like what you're telling me unless it harms you or another person, and then I legally have to. Mm-hmm. So I think that's like why he's testifying on all this. So he says that he did confess in detail, and he told the psychologist that, quote, "I was quite satisfied with the murder."
I hope you're satisfied with your boyfriend that you're getting in jail. That's because
you're young and you know, you got looks, so. Mm-hmm.
They gonna get you, pretty boy. A.A. Ron.
Yup.
They gonna and lock you down.
And he also said, quote, "It took everything to stop laughing," quote, unquote, during his original trial. So, like, he wanted to laugh during trial.
You're getting everything that comes to you. Everything.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
What do you mean you was laughing? What is funny about this situation? What is hilarious?
Like, your whole life is done, bro.
Like, what is funny? There's nothing comical about murdering a child.
No, but he's sick in the head. Because the psychologist even reported that Aaron still fantasizes about killing and having sex with children and also having sex with dead bodies.
Oh, nah. Lock him away and throw away that key. Lock him away.
Yup. The judge described Aaron as a, quote, "cold, calculating, remorseless, and dangerous individual who completely lacked victim empathy."
Yeah.
He was sentenced to life in prison that carried a minimum of 27 years. Not long enough.
No. I mean, you got a life sentence. I mean, at this point, everything that's presented, even if you go for parole, your parole hearing, no one's going to agree. No one's going to agree to let you out.
No. And I hope this psychologist, shows up to every parole hearing and is like, uh-uh.
Mm-hmm.
Yup. So, however, on September 10th, 2019, Aaron did successfully appeal his sentence, which reduced him from 27 years to only 24 years. So he got a few years shaved off.
How?
I'm not under what pretense, I don't know, but he did successfully appeal it. And I want to say that my sources said something about his age. Yeah.
Look, I get the whole age thing. I understand because it's true. Your brain doesn't develop until a certain age. However, comma, when you are like literally telling a psychologist that you still fantasize about sleeping with children and murdering children and having sex with dead bodies and the fact that you had to contain yourself from laughing in your trial,
Something's wrong with you.
That has nothing to do with your age. There is something wrong with you, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think you're going to combat that with age.
No, not at all. Like, there's something deep inside of you that is sick. And you need to be locked away because no one else needs this heartache. No one else needs this pain.
And it's funny that you say that. So this means that he is eligible to apply for parole when he is 40 years old. So one former Scottsdale detective said, in his opinion, quote, "In my experience and in my opinion, I don't think that it will ever be safe to release Aaron Campbell from prison."
I agree.
And I hope they don't.
They better not. Because he's clearly going to be a repeat offender.
Absolutely. Like, these are not heat of the passion moments. These are not, what's that other one? Like, where you act on impulse or something. I don't know.
Crime of passion?
Crime of passion, yeah. That's what I meant. This kid has something mentally wrong with him. Like, you quoted that you were satisfied with the murder. Like, that you're rating it.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Like, no. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
But, of course, we're going to end on a lighter note because I'm not going to give Aaron Campbell all of the attention because this is not about a sicko like Aaron Campbell. This is about Alicia and the life that she lived and would have lived. So, on a lighter note, on June 20th of 2019, a year after her death, Alicia's primary school opened a playhouse built in her memory.
Oh.
They decorated the playhouse with artwork designed specifically by her peers and former classmates.
That's adorable.
Yes.
That is so sweet.
Yep. Like, that is honoring Alicia. You know,
it's such a great way to honor her, too.
Exactly. Like, she loved to play. She loved school. Like, mm-hmm. she loved school.
She's so probably looking down. She's like, everybody playing in my little house, y'all.
Look at that cartwheel Alice did. I see you, girl.
I see you, girl. I see you looking at these paintings, girl. You did a nice job.
So that is the case involving Erin Campbell and the murder of Alicia McAfee.
I feel like cases like this make me, like, want to never take my children outside.
Well, here's where I would have liked to see, because he was the popular kid. So there was not one thing negative about his, like, school. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing was negative. I mean, all that the sources said were, you know, he was popular. He was good in school. No complaints there. Mm-hmm. That he just had a dark sense of humor. So it's not always the weird kid that sits by himself. 9 times out of 10, it's not the weird kid that sits by himself.
Yeah. I feel like this tells you to keep like a closer watch on your students that do have dark humor. You know what I mean? Because he didn't have any of the, what's the word I'm looking for? The telltale.
Signs. Yeah. Yeah.
None of the telltale signs that he was going to do something like this, except for that dark humor. I'm not saying that every kid who has dark humor is going to do something like this, but now we have two cases now where kids have had dark humor and have done terrible things. And I feel like, granted, I don't want to pick those people out, but I also do want to make sure that their dark humor is just that. It is dark humor, and they're not going to act on that humor.
Well, and one more thing that, like, I did see in, like, my sources is something that this case did bring to light is because this was, like, a picturesque postcard place to live. Mm-hmm. The detectives, and I didn't put this in the case because it kind of wasn't about Alicia, but, like, they said that this case brought to light all the drug use that was on their aisle, you know, and, like, they had no idea.
Yeah. People was keeping that stuff on lock until Aaron came around.
And was snitching on everybody.
Yeah. That is crazy. I literally never heard of this case before, so I'm really happy you covered it. Where'd you learn about this?
Well, where did I learn about this? I can't remember. I do remember. It's one of my true crime groups on Facebook, you know, because I'm a part of all those kind of groups.
Yes, you are. I joined them, but I'm, like, not a big Facebooker these days. So you get all the intel information.
Yeah. So I did learn about this one. It was just, like, a link, and I always click on them, you know, if they involve a, you know, team, because that's, like, our niche. But I did learn about this one, and it was pretty, like, when I tell you, when y'all see this dude's picture, like, he looks like he has the teenage acne. He has the black, like, spiked teen hair. Like, he looks like the normal kid.
Yeah. Not a kid who would just do something so unmentionable,
like, and random, like, completely, like you said, Alicia, what did she have to do with you getting weed?
Absolutely nothing.
I mean, we could vent about it all day.
Yeah,
but
we could, but it's also 12:57 at night.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm tired, which means you guys are probably tired. Well, probably not, because you probably
are, because they're listening on Monday morning, and nobody wants to go to work on a Monday morning.
No, I can't even think about it. Oh, gosh.
This is my last full week.
Yes, sir. Oh, wow, that's great. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know what to do with myself if, like, next week was my last full week of school. Like, I would literally probably burn out all my sick days. I'm just kidding.
Yep. Let you know. Yep. I can't.
I'm not feeling too good.
Yeah. So they are probably tired.
Well, we'll let you go because, you know, we understand it's Monday. Yeah. But, you know, get to work safe wherever you're traveling. We know you're doing that little commute. Mm-hmm. So appreciate you taking the time to listen to us. But the bell don't dismiss you.
We do.
So see y'all next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.